You know, the older I get, which seems to start happening more often as I get older, the one thing that I have come to the conclusion of is that there is one thing that gets larger in my life than anything else. The older I get, the one thing that gets larger in my life more than anything else is my rear view mirror of life. The rear view mirror of life is a really an interesting thing. I mean, that as you grow older, I mean, maybe it's because there's more history, experience, life behind you than you probably figure you're going to have in front of you. And as you look into that rear view mirror, you probably section it out into different ways, looking at your life, looking at things that took place, looking at sort of how you measured up and how you didn't measure up. You look in that rear view mirror, but while you're looking in that rear view mirror, I wonder how much of the real life that you can experience is there. You see, we all have a past, we all have a history, we all have things, but I don't know that we're supposed to look at it as reruns every minute. And yet so many times, at least the older I get, the more I seem to look back at the past rather than looking forward into the future. And there's a lot less of the future than there is in the past. You know, I thought about that as I looked for the epistle reading today. The epistle reading today, which is quite interesting, is Paul's letter to the Philippians. The book of Philippians was written somewhere around 59 to 61 A.D. It was written, there's a couple of different ideas. One says that it was written in Ephesians, another one says another city, but then probably the main one, after I researched it a little bit, at least what I got, was that he was in Rome. We know that he's in prison. Might be house arrest, but he's still in prison. And Paul is at this point in his life looking at things and saying, I wonder what's ahead. Because you see, when you're in prison in Rome for what he's been charged with, well, there's only two ways out, release or execution. And he's looking at that all of life from that perspective. In the book of Philippians, its beginning is so interesting in this chapter, because what does he say? He says, you know what? If you want somebody that can be cocky, I can be cocky. I was circumcised on the eighth day. Any of you know when you were circumcised? I don't. I was circumcised on the eighth day. As to being a member of Israel, I was from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As far as the law, a Pharisee. As far as zeal, I persecuted the church. As far as the law, righteousness, blameless. You know, he's taking an inventory of himself. An inventory of himself and saying, you know what? I stack up pretty good from the standards that I came from. I stack up pretty good. I look good for the point in my life, even though I'm close to my death. This letter is an interesting letter because it is where he's contemplating that I might not get out of this thing alive. I long for you. It's the most tender letter of all the letters that Paul wrote. A tender letter saying, you know, I'm just so grateful and there's joy and there's all these things. But he's come to that place, even though he came out of the perspective of, I did everything right and look at me now. I wonder how many of us get into that position. Where we say, well, I did everything right. Why isn't it panning out the way I should be panning out? I mean, how many people do you know that as they age, they aren't really happy most of the time? I mean, they are irritated. They're frustrated. They look back at the past and they say to themselves, I wish the good old days were here. They take an inventory of their own life. I did this, this, and this. Why don't I get this, this, and this? We look at our children sometimes and think, I gave them everything. Why don't they even give me a return phone call? And yet, in all of that stuff, what are we really doing? You see, when you look at the rearview mirror of your life, you're missing what's ahead of you and what's here right now. You're not looking through the windshield. And I don't know about you, even though my rearview mirror of the past of life has gotten bigger, my windshield's still bigger than that. Paul goes on to say this, after he gives himself all his kudos for everything that he did, but I count everything that I did for the righteousness that I did as rubbish, trash. It's nothing. And the reason why is the surmounting knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Somehow in the midst of this, he has gone from a place where he thought he had to earn all that he did to a place where he said, no, grace has given me all that it is. And I don't have to worry about being frustrated or angry about what goes on or what doesn't go on. In fact, some of the things, if I can change them, I'll change them. If I can reconcile, I'm reconciled. But I really can't change the past. I can only change what goes forward from here on in. You know, I think Paul teaches us something really powerful and really interesting. Because I don't know about you, for me, there's a lot of times I look in my rearview mirror. There's a lot of times when I think, I don't get the credit I'm deserving. There's a lot of times that I think to myself, why do they not return my phone call? Why is it that their schedule is more important than my schedule? Why is it? Why is it? How is it? And yet, in the midst of that, I miss precious moments in the present and precious moments ahead. I miss the life that's all around me, trying to watch another old Western. I miss all the things that are good going on me because, to tell you the truth, I think they should do it the way I did it when I was a child. My parents walked 10 miles in the snow, you know, to get to school. Well, I took the school bus, but you know what? That doesn't matter. So often in times, we look back and we miss what's in the present, what the good stuff is. You know, I often wonder, how many times my parents looked at me and said the same thing as I'm saying now. So when are we going to get wise up? When are we going to get to the place where we finally realize, oh, wait a second, the whole secret of life is not trying to rehearse the past and change it and re-edit it, but rather to move forward and say, take what we've got right now, work with it the best way we can, and keep your eyes forward. Paul wants the surmounting knowledge of knowing Christ, of knowing him and being found in him. Finding a righteousness not based on how he did against the law, but rather finding a righteousness that's simply because I'm an intimate personal relationship with the living God. You know, it's so interesting to me because in my life, the one thing that I've come to the conclusion of recently is, you know, I really identify with the fact that I was created in the image of God. And the image of God that I know that's within me is always kind to me. You know, I can honestly say I've never had the image of God that's within me, that image that God gave to me, ever been, say, a harsh word to me. Now, the image I've created for myself, my ego, oh, it's mean. It's tough. It tells me I don't do things right all the time. But the image of God has always sort of lifted me up and given me that sense of love, peace, patience, kindness, all those fruits of the Spirit. It waits on me. It moves with me. It gives me the ability to laugh when, to tell you the truth, maybe other people would be irritated. It gives me that ability to not strike back when I know I'm smarter than the other guy with a quick-witted remark. When they've given me a quick-witted remark, I don't have to fence with them. I just have to let it go. That image of God that's within me sort of lifts me up and gives me the ability to have joy even when, well, I look at the world about me and I say, oh, this isn't good. That image of God that's within me says, you know what, there is an eternity, and I don't have to worry about it. I have to do the next right thing and just keep living out of that, not trying to live in my own stuff. It makes me not feel like I got to be in control of everything or right every wrong that I see, which sometimes, to tell you the truth, my right of a wrong might be a wrong of a right. That's what Paul's, I think, is trying to get at. I got every reason to be cocky, Paul would say. I got it all. I was circumcised on the eighth day. You know, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Zeal, I got it. You know what? The law, I got it. But all that is nothing compared to what it is to know the living God. He says very clearly, he said, you know what? What I do is I forget what's behind and I strive forward to reach what's ahead. He uses the analogy of actually an athletic track star, sort of holding on to the baton with his hand in the back, running the race for the baton to be handed off to him, but him keeping his eyes forward. Did you ever notice when they do that? You never see the guy that's getting the baton turn around like this, because you know what happens then? You either trip over your own feet or somehow you slow down. But you keep your eyes forward and you wait till the baton to be handed to you, and then you begin to run. And that's the whole idea that Paul is trying to get across to you and to me, I think. Keep moving forward. The best is yet to come. It's all there if you have eyes to see. But if your eyes have been trained to simply look back, if your eyes have been trained to rehearse and watch reruns, then to be honest with you, you're going to miss what's ahead. I wonder how many of us are going to miss what's ahead. I hope I don't. I don't understand a lot of things. There's words I say in the service sometimes, and I say, you know, what does that really mean? What does that mean? And yet, even though I don't understand it, somehow I know it to be truth. And somehow I know in the midst of life that you can just know God and the fullness of God and trust in that, and that is more than enough. You know, as I prepared the sermon, I thought to myself, how am I going to end this thing? How am I going to end it? What little cute story can I come up with? You know, what kind of humorous anecdote can I give? Well, the only anecdote I can give and the only cute story I can give to you right now is this. You finish the sermon. It's your life. Are you striving towards the future or are you looking back towards the past? Have you forgotten and left that behind? How light do you pack going forward? Do you pack really heavily, carrying everything that's ever gone on in you? Or do you let the things go that you need to let go? Do you forget some of the accomplishments that might make you egocentric? Do you forget the mistakes that you made that might make you feel shame? Do you move forward and say, I'll do the best I can with this relationship if I ever get a chance at it, even though I didn't handle it right before? Maybe I can work it out now, but if I can't, then let it go. I did the best I can. Do you do the next right thing? How are you going to finish this sermon? As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you finish it knowing that you receive the full presence of Jesus Christ with you. In a sense, every time you take communion, you fulfill the words Paul says. I want to know Christ and be found by him. Jesus finds you when you receive communion. So if you're found, you're not lost. If you're found, then you know to keep your eyes forward. If you're found, then live that way. End the story, end the sermon by what you're going to do. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand.